Hi everyone, and welcome to Dr. Mommy Speaks Parenting Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Rahat. Today's episode is for all those parents who are struggling with challenging behaviors in children due to the pandemic. So let's call this era the COVID-19 era, because it has had such a significant impact on our lives and day-to-day behaviors. This era has brought changes like work from home, overuse of technology by kids, tons of parenting guilt from not being able to give them enough time, and struggles with interpersonal relations. We will be discussing all of these challenges for parents and getting some tangible tips on how to parent in these times. For this, we have with us a special guest all the way from New York. She is the author of two best-selling books, Love Your Family Again and Love Your Classroom Again. For the past 20 years, she has worked with families and educators to help kids with challenging behaviors. She's been a guest as a behavioral expert on national media, including Fox News, ABC, NBC, and many more. She's based in New York City, where she connects with teachers on her Facebook group called Behavior and Beyond, and with parents through her amazing membership program called Parents Doing It All. You have to check it out. From the preschoolers who won't sit still to the tweens and teens who are defiant and disrespectful, her realistic, action-based approaches have resulted in lesser fights and happier families. Please welcome Dr. Marcy Bagel.
Good morning, such a pleasure and honor to be here.
Thank you so much, Dr. Marcy. We are excited to have you, and let's get started. So, we're talking about the pandemic. And so for parents, the two biggest challenges in this pandemic have been work from home and handling kids along with that. Now, Work was supposed to get easier. Kids were supposed to enjoy it with no school to bother them. But sadly, neither of that happened. And the worst affected by the pandemic have been our kids. So how can we maintain a balance between working from home and handling kids, of course, without getting exhausted?
Yes. So the number one thing that I am recommending for all parents to do is to look at all of the things that you are doing in your day, very realistic, very honestly, and decide what can you cut out. The things that we used to do a year ago are not going to be the same things that we do now. And if we're trying to maintain everything, it's going to fall apart because we're not living in the same world. So what can you let go of? What can you clean your house every other week instead of every week? Can you have your kids help you cook as opposed to feeling like you need to do it all? Can you check your email every 2 hours instead of every hour? Where are those spaces that you can put down some of the requirements that you've created in your head that aren't actually real in the world?
So yeah, that's more like not trying to put too many things on our plate so that we don't get bogged down by all of them.
Yes. And so many people are trying to do what we used to do, even though we are now in a pandemic, right? So a year ago, what you were capable of accomplishing is very different than what you can accomplish right now. It's not a more or less game. It's not that you're doing less now. It's that now you have to facilitate your child's education. You have to create structure in your home. You have to have the virtual meeting rather than just walking down the hall and talking to somebody. And all of those things just have shifted our time commitments.
Absolutely.
The other big thing that I love having parents do right now is creating schedules for your kids. Whether they are in school and they have a school schedule for you to follow and they're for other times of the day, but for your entire family, who's doing what when, because kids thrive in structure and parents can really get through the day better if they know where they're going to be, when, and with who.
Absolutely. I am a big advocate of schedules and routines myself. And I feel my house will just fall apart if we don't have that fixed day-to-day, hour-to-hour routine where it's divided. So I'm a mom of two toddlers. Okay, a little bit of perspective there. So we have sleepy time, meal time, and play time. It goes like that. But then this little structure has helped me so much to steer through this pandemic.
Yes, for sure. So even if it's not your nature, put it in place for a week and see how that changes and makes you feel like you have some control where you might not have before.
Absolutely. Okay, so parenting has changed a lot in these times, and we often complain of being short on time. Work hours now extend to the whole day. We might be sitting with our kids physically, but mentally we're still working. At some point, when we see the innocent faces of our kids asking us something, and we're dumbfounded. So that's when we realize we're not actually spending time with them. At the end of the day, this causes tons of parenting guilt. How can we deal with this?
Yes. So parenting guilt is huge. I find that when you're working, you feel like you should be with your kids. When you're with your kids, you feel like you should be working, right? There's nowhere that you're just like, ah, here I am. And I say to you because I don't have my own kids, right? So I don't have this experience. Lots of other people's, but none of my own. So the truth is that you have to get honest about what you're going to do when, right? Make a plan. Is bedtime really bedtime where you're going to say, I'm going to put my phone down. I'm not checking email while my kid is falling asleep. I'm going to be completely present for the 30 minutes before they go to sleep till once they're in bed. And then I can go back if there's something else I need to do. Is dinner a time where this is family time, right? So taking a few minutes, perhaps right now, and getting clear on, okay, where am I going to say really is my family time? No exception, no problem. I'll communicate that with my coworkers. I'll communicate that with other people that might be looking for me at that time to say from 6 to 8 p.m., I am not available. I'm with my family. And get clear. So then you know, you've told everyone, you've told your family, and you can just drop into saying, okay, I'm supposed to be here. Same with work. What are the hours that you're really going to say, I'm going to be here, even if you're interrupted by your kids, but your main focus is getting your work done. Now that might not be the 8 or 10 hour day that you had before, because there will be interruptions, because it's not realistic to do that anymore. You're not going to an office and having that separation, but sitting in your home and saying, okay, these 2 hours, I need some other adult. I need my co-parent. I need my partner. I need a babysitter. I need the neighbor, somebody else to take care of my kids, because I have to put my head down and focus on work. And during this time, it can't be interrupted. And having that clarity will allow you to put down that guilt, because that's really just a story you're putting on yourself. The final piece of that is stop comparing yourself to what other people are doing. Me as a human during this without children in my home can do different things than what you can do with children in your home. And so that comparison isn't fair on either side. Right? There are moments where I'm like, I wish there was just a kid to crawl up in bed with and watch a movie. Or on the other side, you're like, I just wish someone would leave me alone for 2 hours. So exactly. No more comparing.
You put it so well. And actually, you know, whenever I'm sitting with my kids and there's constantly work going on in my head, like you put it so well, that struggle is there. If we do not partition it well, there has to be some sort of division. And also, work suffers. I literally sit in front of the laptop and there are kids running around the house, and then there is no work getting done. I have to get up 10 times either to give them something, someone has to pee or potty, or some or the other thing is happening. In the end, I didn't finish work. I didn't go and cook, or nothing has happened, only because the proper partition was in there. So this is a really nice way to, you know, divide work and get everything done.
Yes. Absolutely. And in those moments where you're just staring at your computer screen and not getting anywhere, stop. Just stop working and be like, okay, clearly my kids need some attention right now because they keep interrupting me. Let me go give them attention and then come back. Don't pretend you're going to get work done when you're not, because you're just burning yourself out and making everyone around you have a harder time than you need to.
Right. It's going to be all zero productivity for me and two cranky kids over there.
Exactly. Whereas if you're like, okay, I'm taking a half hour break from work. Again, let whoever needs to know that you're not going to be available, go play with your kids, like full, wholeheartedly play with your kids, and then be like, okay, now I need to get back to work and do it.
Right. Absolutely. So as I said, absolutely. So as I said, I'm a mom of two toddlers and I'm a strong advocate of various parenting techniques and hacks. They're like the secrets of grandmother's books. Except the grandmother here is a scientist and his books are the various researches that are results of innumerable behavioral studies in kids. And so I'd like to know from you, do you have any such tangible tips on how to get your kids to listen? I know It sounds like so cliche, but no amount of resources are going to be enough when it comes to raising a little human. Tell me something.
Okay, I love that you phrase it that it's like grandmother's wisdom, right? Because it so is, but it's coming from scientists and experts these days.
Right.
Love that. So yes, actually I do. I have what I call my three keys. And there are three different elements to getting your kids to listen, which are really how I do all of the behavior change I do. These are the only three things I do all day long. So the first is that you have to speak with purpose. Our words are so powerful that what you say to your kids matters so much more than you think it does. If you are telling them to do something, tell them to do something. Don't ask them, hey, do you want to come join us for dinner? No. They've learned that that question they can say no to, and then you're frustrated that they're not listening. If you're telling them something, tell them, come sit down for dinner.
Right, just because I gave them an option, so they're going to choose the better one that they like. And I'll be sitting here expecting them to behave right.
Right, and we assume that they knew that that was a direction. Well, let's not give our kids a space to interpret. Let's literally tell them what we want. Because I don't want to have to interpret what my boss tells me. That ends up with all sorts of problems and kerfuffles. Same thing here. Be clear with your words. If bedtime is at 8, then you need to be ready at 8 for bedtime. Because your kids don't know the difference between when you just had a few more things to get done, so it's 8:15 at bedtime, and when they want to wait till 8:15, what's the difference? Why do you get to decide and not them? So that clarity of your word, if you said something, you have to mean it. Otherwise, say something different. Kind of that simple.
Right.
In concept, not easy to put in place though. Big difference. So the second key is then you have to put your words into action. It's what we do, right? So that idea of bedtime is at 8 o'clock. At 8 o'clock, you need to stand up and go over to your children and go get them to get in bed, right? That action piece of follow through is where you stop repeating yourself over and over and over again. Hey boys, let's go to bed. And they're like, no, thanks. You walk over and you take their hand. You say, okay, well, we'll walk upstairs together or we'll go to the bedroom together. And you take their hand and you walk with them. Rather than sitting where you are repeating and repeating and repeating and repeating and repeating until you start yelling, get in action. Go show them what it looks like. Go help them do it. Because eventually what they will learn from that space is that you're going to say something, you're then going to make sure it happens. So they're going to start listening without you having to get up in the future. Takes a little while for them to learn that, but they'll get there. That action piece is where listening comes from. And then the third key to changing all behavior is celebrate, have a good time with your kids. So okay. There is so much correction and negativity and saying no to your kids and that they didn't do it right. And every time they don't do it right, you point it out and you talk about it. But when they do it right, what happens? In most homes, kids do it right and then you just move on to the next demand. You just move on to the next thing. That's got to change. When they do it right, sing, dance, celebrate, be silly in some way. And it can be a 3 second, a 5 second. That song was about 3 seconds and it got you laughing. If you tell your kids to come to bed and then you start dancing for 3 seconds about the fact that they're listening to you and this is amazing, it's much more likely they're going to do it again in the future. They're going to be like, what are you going to do tomorrow? What's going to happen? Right? And that brings more joy into your family. It makes listening more fun and it keeps everything moving in the right direction because now also your kids know they did the right thing. They got that positive feedback of, oh, that's what you wanted to see. Okay, I can do that again. They didn't know it before.
Right. So all of these behavioral changes, the gist of that is to make the kids enjoy the routine. So they'll start liking it more and then they'll start following it more. It shouldn't be like a set of instructions that they have to do. Okay, bedtime's done now. Now milk time. Now time to brush your teeth. It shouldn't be something like one thing is done, one thing checked off the list. Shouldn't be something like that. And also about the song part, we have a potty song because we started potty training and we do that, potty training. Okay, yay, you did your potty in the seat. Very good. You washed yourself on your own. Very good. It has been months now since they've learned it, but they're so habituated to it. The moment they've succeeded, they look at our faces and how much ever stressed, troubled or exhausted we are, they expect us to be that, do that same dance thing. So it's really good. It worked.
Yes. And I love that. And when it comes to potty training, so many parents do that, right? There's this huge celebration when you go on the potty. But why don't we do that anywhere else? Like that, that rhythm that works to teach your kids something is that rhythm that works to teach your kids anything. So take that song into other places.
Right. Absolutely. Really nice. Okay. So COVID era has brought yet another significant change, and that is overuse of technology. What worries me the most is that the use of screens is now a part of my child's education. Kids use it either for online schooling or relaxing or for connecting on social media. So how can we moderate the use of this technology without compromising on our child's education?
Yes. So this is a huge topic that I've been talking to lots and lots and lots of parents about. So the love that you framed the question around is the different ways we're using technology, right? We're using it to learn and for our education, for socialization and for recreation. And so recognizing that there are these different reasons we're using it. It's not just one and done. It's not just school and then get off, but that our kids are using it to connect because they can't be in person is so powerful. So the first place is to talk about all of the benefits of technology and realize how blessed we are to have it. The second is, how do we make sure they're getting off, they're making real connections, they're spending time outside? All of those things are also important. The very first thing that I recommend is for parents, watch their own behavior. How much are you connected to your screen, to your phone? Are your kids seeing that during bedtime you're actually doing email or something else on their on technology? Because they're seeing that you are intimately connected, and then they're going, oh, well, that's what screen time is. So your kids are watching what you're doing. If you're always on your iPhone, they're going to start carrying around their iPad because they want to be just like you. So one of the powerful tools is A, put down your technology. Two, when you're on it, tell your kids what you're doing. Oh, I'm just looking up directions for where we're going next. Or I'm just letting your mom know where we're going to be. Or I just have to check that a client didn't message me anything. Oh, no, great. And put it down. So that they know what you're doing, because they don't know if you're reading the newspaper there or on social media. So telling them that. So that's one. Two is talk to your kids about what they're doing online, how much they're online, and making sure that you're building in things and hobbies for them outside of screen time. So getting them outside, whether that's for a family walk, whether that's to kick a soccer ball, whether that's to go to the park and run around, doesn't really matter as long as you are outside in fresh air and sunshine with no screens. And that can be 15 or 30 minutes a day, but having a little bit of that every day, and then the days that they don't have school, having bigger chunks of that is really powerful so that they have that balance. The other big thing to put down for parents is that guilt of having your kids on screen time right now, because when school for 6 hours a day is screen time, and then all of their socialization is there as well, it means they're going to be on tech a lot. And when the pandemic is over, when socialization can go back to being in person safely, when school is full-time in person safely, then we can undo all of the addictive characteristics that your kids may have picked up from being on it so much. But know that this is an anomaly. This is a rarity. This is part of our survival in this pandemic, is using technology.
Right. So technology currently is more like a double-edged sword. It's doing good as well as bad. And it's actually difficult. And, you know, I've seen parents and yes, their kids are glued to screens, not even just for schools and for recreational purposes, but also for mealtimes. It's like a constant. Without the iPad, the kids are not going to eat. So the end result is the whole day, from the moment the child gets up and takes his breakfast, then schools, and just drop the nap time. The rest of the time, the kid has been on screen. And when the screens are off, you see zombies walking around. Literally, their eyes are like wide, they're glaring at you, and their mind is numbed because they have been on screen for such a long time.
Yes. So if that's where your kids are with screen time and technology, then it's really important that you make a change. Because we don't want our kids addicted to it. If the minute they wake up that they're on it and they don't put it down until the end of the day, that's a problem. And so carving out times where you say, hey, you might start with just 5 minutes. Okay, we're gonna have a dance party together. Oh, we're gonna use the technology to put on music And then we're going to put it down and we're going to dance and we're going to dance and do it with your kids. But carving out times where they are interacting with actual humans, AKA you, mm-hmm. is powerful and important. If your kids won't eat during mealtime without screens, then you need to figure out a way to fade that out or to use it halfway through, right? We're going to sit for the first 5 minutes of dinner eating, and then you can have your screen, because using it as a reinforcer is powerful, but using it as the only way they will eat is problematic.
That's a really suggestion. That's a really good suggestion for all those parents who are struggling with kids having screens at mealtime. And also, that's a really nice way to get them away from screens. A very important point here. Once a child is on the screen and then it's time to go off the screen, that's the point where the huge meltdown or the tantrum begins. It's really difficult. But the idea of making it fun is going to diffuse the tantrum in a minute. I just love that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and so often we're telling our children to get off screen time, which is something they love, to do something they don't love, like clean up their room or do homework. So we have to put in an interim thing that is going to be enjoyable. Hey, put your iPad down and come have some ice cream with me, right? Giving them something else that they like, that they're like, okay, I'll come have a treat for that. We have to go from apples to apples, AKA something I love, my screen, to something else I love, a treat. And then from that treat, because then the ice cream's gone, and it might be two bites. It doesn't have to be a whole sundae, just a little bit. Then you can say, okay, ice cream's done. Now we're going to go clean up that room of yours. Let's go.
Right. So some
your
sort
attention,
of
your, yeah, your engagement around that is also really powerful. Your kids love you and want to be around you, whether they act like that all the time or not. So making sure that you're having fun with them in those transition moments is so powerful.
Okay, that was reassuring. My kids love me. I hope that's the reality.
Okay. It is. That's why they keep interrupting you. They wouldn't want to talk to you so much if they didn't actually love you.
True. Okay, so parenting is teamwork. If you want to amp up your parenting game, then you must be on the same page as your partner. And especially when it comes to inculcating discipline in the house, we cannot be like, I say that sleep time is 8 o'clock and the husband says, no, we can extend to 15 more minutes. Let them play. That's what's going to leave the child confused. So it even makes this arduous task of parenting a tad bit difficult. So how can we achieve a healthy personal relationship with our partner so that parenting gets easier and we're on the same page when it comes to teaching or raising kids?
Yes, I love this question because it makes everything easier in your life when all of the adults around are on the same page. And
right.
Especially,
sorry to interrupt you. It's not only just about having a good relationship with your partner, but also with the other elders of the house. Like if you have grandparents and grandmom, so those people also need to know the rules and adhere by that. How can we make that happen?
Yes. So sometimes parents don't have a conversation with the other adults unless they are in the moment of conflict, right? It is bedtime. And that's when you and your significant other start fighting about the fact that they never put them to bed on time and they're really lax about it. And then bedtime happens, you put the kids to bed, it finally goes down, your fight is over, and you just are exhausted and you don't talk about it again till the next night when there's another fight. That pattern, that only talking about the conflicts in the moment of conflict, adds to problem behavior from your kids. So you want to make sure that you are carving out time every week to have parenting meetings, to sit down with your significant other and say, what do we need to figure out? I think bedtime is at 8. You always push it back to 8:15 and we're losing our kids in that interim and we're fighting about it. So what are we going to do? Can you get on board with it being 8? Do I need to get on board with it being 8:15? Where do we go? And having a conversation when it's not heated, when you're not in active conflict, when you're not in trying to get something else done is really powerful. Remember when you sit down to those conversations that you both love your children, that you want what's best for them. It's not about them winning or you winning or fine, it always becomes your way, that you are a team on the same page trying to raise some amazing humans. And when we come from that perspective, it doesn't feel like you guys are fighting against each other, but rather moving towards something with compromise and with intention for what's best for your kids, not what you want to be doing, not what's comfortable for you.
Right. So these conflicts are not about a personal win, but how to get them to bed, how to get things done, how to get kids disciplined. That's what we need to remember at such times. Absolutely.
I've talked to so many parents who the language is about the fight. You know, I'm fighting with them. Why did they always win that argument? And it's like, whoa, stop. We want your family to win. Not one parent or the other, not your kids versus you. You are all on the same team. It is a win for your family. So how do we get there and come from that perspective?
Right. Also, laying proper ground rules and having them and showing our children that this is what we expect of you. Same ground rules go for the spouses, that this is what your job is. This is how we are going to get things done in this house. This is going to be such a huge step in a smooth fun, making the house function and smoothly.
Absolutely.
So we've spoken about so many behavioral changes, parenting guilt, and being with our partner on the same page. Now let's move a little off track. And here it is, okay? In today's digital age, there's been a lot of media coverage on even the most minuscule of topics. I am referring to politics. Not the best of my topics, but in our times, we couldn't care less about politics when we were young. And we came across it once in 5 years, and that was during the election times. But our kids, this generation, they are pretty much aware of the current political scenario due to the social media. Whether they like it or not, politics is impacting their lives. And this is also something you want to talk about. So how can we equip our children with a wide knowledge about politics and elections without it sounding like a propaganda or we're taking sides?
Yeah, politics is huge, especially here in the States. As we're recording this, we are a week out from the presidential election. And our kids are aware of everything. And as you said, it's because we are connected socially on media in so many ways. So our kids are so amazingly knowledgeable right now because of all of their connection through the internet and all of the different avenues, whether they're checking news or just posts from friends. So as a parent, what you want to make sure you're doing is talking to your kids about politics. As strange as uncomfortable that might be, because we've been conditioned to not talk about politics, making sure that your kids know what you believe, what you're hoping for them to believe, but also to teach them to think critically, to look out for all of the information that's out there, not just taking one source as fact, but how do we find the truth, and sharing with them your family's beliefs and values. Because what I'm seeing more and more is that politics is really just a combination of people's values that are personified into the laws of our country. And so what are the things that are important to you as a family? What are the things that you want your kids to know and stand by as you grow up? What are the things that you want to be loud about in the world versus feel really private? And having overt, consistent, ongoing conversations with your children about that will be really importantly. Ask your kids what they know and how they feel about that. Give them a space to share what is being talked in their friend. They have a safe and reliable space. And at the end of the day, if you don't have the answers, go do research what you think is true and trusted, because that is going to be exactly what you want to raise your children to be. It's kids who believe in amazing, wonderful things that you believe as well.
Absolutely. As you said, the friend circle or the peer group has such a huge impact nowadays on kids, the way they think and their thought process. So there are two sides to it. One is when the kid is home and he's being imparted with all the knowledge and the belief system that I want him to live by, stand by. And then when the moment he's outside the house, he's having this completely different perception that he's seen his friends stand by so strongly. And so what do we do about that? How do we make sure that, and I'm not talking about forcing our belief system, but as you said, helping the child to think critically to make a right decision. But then when he's being bombarded with such conflicting information on all sides, how will the poor child learn and take sides?
Yeah. So that's where you really want to teach your child to think for themselves. You give them the information that's important to you, and then you ask them what they think. You put them in situations where having their voice is honored. So when they say, actually, mom, I don't agree with that. This is what I think. Then be curious about that. Don't just shut them down and say, no, that's wrong. That's not okay. Change. Say, oh, well, why do you think that? Where did you learn about that? What does that feel like for you? So that it forces them to explain their ideas, because I'm a big fan of you get to believe whatever you believe as long as you have reasons for it, as long as you can back it up, not because your friend said so, not because you read an article about it, but because it makes sense to you.
That is amazing. I'll have to stop you here. Yeah. That is mind blowing. That's such a lovely reason to make our kids be so firm on their thinking that, mom, this is not what I think. And here is my reason for it. That was amazing, Marcy.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the truth. Just like we don't want our kids blindly following our friends, we don't want our kids blindly following us either.
Right.
Teach them to think for themselves. Make it okay for them to disagree with you respectfully, but disagree with you as long as there's a reason. Get that critical thinking going for them, because that's what's going to make them resilient in this world. Whether it's about politics or relationships or their career, if they are thoughtful kids, if they can stand by their beliefs, that is going to take them so far. And right now, with everything that's happening in politics, it is a beautiful platform to have some of those critical thinking conversations, to teach them to be loud about what they believe in, because that is so important right now, and to speak up for what's right.
Absolutely. So it's also about igniting that conversation with our child, so that we come to know what he's thinking about those yes. particular things, where he's standing when it comes to those topics. As you said, you put it really well, like, what do you think? Why do you think you don't agree to my thoughts? Or do you have better reasons for it? Something like that. And it's going to completely help the child spill the beans on whatever he thinks.
And kids are so resourceful that they're finding outlets and channels and information that I never dreamed of. So when I've said to some kids that I've talked to, I'm like, that's really interesting. Where did you learn that? They will pull up some scientific report and I'll be like, well, I didn't know that, learning something new. So take the opportunity to learn from your kids.
Right. Absolutely. That was amazing. That was so insightful. Thank you so much, Dr. Marcy. This discussion has been a treasure trove of parenting hacks and tricks. And I'm sure many parents are going to benefit from it.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for having me, Dr. Radha. It has been such a pleasure being here with you.
Guys, you can connect with Dr. Marcy on Facebook, Instagram, and her website, drmarcy.com. You have to visit her YouTube channel for more such amazing, insightful videos. Also, you can find her books, Love Your Family Again, Love Your Classroom Again, on Amazon, the links for which will be mentioned in the show notes below. Also, you can join her parenting membership program for some one-to-one support and help on everyday parenting problems. I will link it up below. That's it for today. Until then, happy parenting. That's it for today. Do subscribe to my podcast so you will be notified each time a new episode is online. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn as Dr. Mommy Speaks. Don't forget to like and review our podcast wherever you listen. It will help others to find this podcast. And you can visit our website, drmommyspeaks.com/podcast, for all our show notes and any resources mentioned by me or my guests. And while you're at it, don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter. Until then, happy parenting!